it's Brandy.
Thank you. Are we good? All right. I want to call the Osage Nation Health Committee meeting to order. Today is Tuesday, May 18th. It's 1:01 p.m. Calling us to order. First on the agenda is prayer. If you'll join me in prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. We also thank you for the opportunity we have to serve our Osage people. I want to extend thanks to the people who are here today. They're here to serve the people. They're here with their hearts and minds dedicated to the health of our Osage people, and I appreciate them for that. I also want to ask for blessings for those people that have lost loved ones at this time and what their families are going through, to give them courage to move forward. I ask that you watch over our people while we're seeing the horizon on this pandemic. We hope that you will keep us as safe as possible. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. So if we could have a roll call, please.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Present.
Congressman Tillman.
Here.
Congressman Walker.
Here.
Congressman Big Horse.
Present.
Speaker Pratt.
Here.
And Chair Stabler.
Present. Thank you. Next on the agenda is the approval of minutes. I believe there's two sets of minutes today for April the 22nd and April the 27th. Do we have a motion on the approval of minutes?
Motion to approve the minutes from the health meeting on April the 22nd as presented.
I have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 Minutes are approved for April the 22nd. Do we have a motion for April the 27th?
Chair, I make a motion to approve the minutes of April 27th as presented.
Thank you. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Minutes for April the 27th. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 Minutes are approved. Thank you. Next on our agenda is the Counseling Center. We have, this was a day for information and for learning. We were hoping to visit with the Counseling Center and the PRT, the Primary Residential Treatment. One of the things that I have realized in this past year, and especially just recently in speaking with a couple of members of Congress, is that there's not a real good understanding about how these programs work together and the full functions that they provide and how it relates to the healthcare system. So that was supposed to be what today was about. We have been notified that we will not be having, one is an acting director, the other was a lead monitor coming to help us through this today. But we are going ahead with our agenda and going to try to talk as much as we can about these entities. These are part of the healthcare system. They are under the oversight of the ONHAB board. They do provide a critical service. They provide clinical care to their clients. And it's a large program, a vast program. It's been, I don't know how many years it's been in practice with the nation, but it's been here for a very long time. At this time, I guess we'll start with just maybe some comments from the chair of the ONHAB board, if you have anything you'd like to say about the counseling center. And then we'll go ahead with questions, because these are still questions that need to be answered and that people need to, people in this body need to understand.
Correct. We have, this is Cindy Shangru, board chair. We have just been alerted by chief that we have a new member being added to the board. Mm-hmm. Haley Kramer, she has excellent history in public health. She's a nurse practitioner, so she's worked as a practitioner as well as in nursing service, and I think she'll give us a nice vision coming onto our board as we are looking towards restructuring our board and our clinic operations. As far as the PRT, we've talked about, and we know that this is number one on Chief's agenda, is a new PRT, and we talked about placement. At first, we thought we could have a whole medical complex, but apparently the situation of the PRT in that area was not really agreeable to many people. So we're looking at another site for it. In the meantime, we have talked to Erdman regarding a possible cost projection for the new buildings, because we want to first do a men's PRT, then a women and children's transitional living, men's transitional living, and eventually an adolescent PRT. And the cost of those four buildings, according to Erdman, and this was back on 3/18 during our ONHAB meeting, they project about $6 million cost for all four buildings, 24,000 square foot of space. We think building and the site cost would be about $3.9 million, but the site cost, since we're not looking at that same property, that will have changed. And then $1.9 million to operate, and this was for the previous director, and we may see that change. But as far as moving forward, we're just looking toward, I think with executive is actually looking towards purchase of property to have these centers placed on.
Okay.
And right now we're in a holding pattern, just wondering and waiting to see what will be allocated from the new ARF funds, American Rescue, or ARP plan, the American mm-hmm. Rescue. So
okay.
Once we find out that, we can know more, look a little bit harder for site placement, but we have kind of an idea of what it's going to cost us as of March was going to be around $6 million.
Okay.
Kirk Shaw is here with us, and he will be able to explain a little bit about how the PRT is working.
If we could back up just a little bit, we're talking about the counseling center right now.
Okay.
And so, yes, if you'd like, can you address how the counseling center relates to the system?
Yeah. So currently, as you all know, the counseling center is here in the
fourth
floor of the bank building here. They do a lot more than what most people think. You know, their task program, they do the drug testing for new employees, and also that wraps into a lot of their treatment plan. The behavioral health program within the clinic focuses on the mental health of our patients and whatnot, as you know. And But they, the counseling center also has programs where they focus more on the drug and alcohol abuse, as far as the, they have a 12-step program, different things of that sort, all counseling that goes up. They have, I believe currently they have two counseling rooms that they use here on the fourth floor. The last that I had heard included in the project would have been a new counseling facility, a counseling center for them as mm-hmm. well. So that was going to be included. So those are the things that they do that, to me, they go hand in hand with our health. Again, a misconception is that, you know, the behavioral health program within the clinic, they kind of coincide with each other, but really there, it's a two, you know, it's a two-lane street. There, those are two mm-hmm. separate things that, that they provide a different separate service than what we do within the clinic. And they're both very important for the health of our people and Native Americans as a whole. You know, a lot of those PRT, they use that program as well. With the PRT, are you going to continue on? Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you have any questions about the counseling center?
I do have some questions about the counseling center. First of all, for myself and any member of Congress that has any questions, please please speak up. How many counselors are at the counseling center currently?
Currently, we have 12 that are fully within the counseling center. That's including the full-time and part-time, I believe, and they also use those on the PRT side as well. They have two full-time positions, one full-time, one part-time, I believe, that they're posting right now to fill those.
Okay, and when the counseling center is working with, you mentioned that works with PRT, mm-hmm. and so can you explain what that relationship is?
So they use them in that same realm as far as for their counselors. You know, they'll use them with the men's and women's, not just, they're not just here, they're on site, whenever they use them for that.
So they travel to the counseling center to deal with counseling daily?
Yeah, PRT. Do what?
Daily?
I don't believe it's daily. I would have to ask Jennifer McLaughlin on that, but I don't believe it's daily.
Who does the assessments for getting into PRT? Is it the counseling center?
It was the counseling center along with Dr. Shaw in the past. Currently we have any of those ones that would go to Dr. Shaw normally if they were kind of maybe on the line of whether or not they should be admitted. Dr. Brewer, he's one of our physicians in the clinic, he's currently taking those that Dr. Shaw would have in the past.
Okay.
And the new chief medical officer will take over that as well whenever they arrive.
Okay. Does when someone contacts the counseling center that wants to go into PRT, mm-hmm. go into counseling for drugs or rehab or whatever, what's the turnaround time to get their assessment? Let's just get that far right now to get their assessment.
Yeah, so generally you can get the pre-enrollment packet directly offline, or if they call them, they send it to them directly. To get them to that point, I believe it is within the week. Right now, I know that I'm skipping a little ahead. Our men's does have a waiting point. They have 5 on the wait list. We have 8 beds there. So generally, the turnaround is pretty quick if there's not a waiting list. Mm-hmm. The women's does not currently have a waiting list. So
are there any tenants in the women's right now?
Yes, there's 4.
Okay.
And then, you know, it all depends on their labs. They have to have the labs done through the clinic. And once their labs are completed, that's whenever it goes to that assessment. And again, if there's any issues with them, then they go on to previously Dr. Shaw, but now Dr. Brewer.
Okay.
The CMO will assume those.
Okay.
Paula, I have a question.
Sure. Congresswoman Lemon, go ahead.
Thank you. Mr. Shaw for being here and Ms. Shangru. I just wanted a little bit of clarification on one of the statements that Mr. Shaw made. Kirk, I was wondering when you said when their labs are complete, and then if there's not any issues, what exactly does that mean? Are you talking like comorbidity issues? Or are we talking like issues with, I mean, can you just kind of give me a little bit more explanation on that particular topic of depending on their lab reports?
Yeah, not to get into too many specifics, but we did have one recently that they hit for a different type of drug than what we thought, or that they thought they originally they were coming in for. So that came, that went to Dr. Brewer, and it was within the last couple of weeks. So he was able to review that and make the decision on the based off of that.
So,
okay.
Go ahead. If you have more questions.
Yeah, yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Kirk. So when you say based a decision based on that, does that mean a decision based on clearance for admission? And the reason I'm asking is because, I mean, what would cause someone not to be able to go to PRT?
Yeah, it's for clearance of admission. I think it's just depending on what they, the guidelines of what PRT has set in place, if they hit for anything else other than what's expected coming in. Mainly it's methamphetamine and alcohol abuse. Like I said, those go to that person to make the decision.
So I guess I'll just be a little bit more pointed if I can.
Yeah.
So let's, okay, thank you. So let's say that I decide to go to PRT and I tell you that I'm on meth and alcohol, but methadone or OxyContin comes up in my system. Does that mean that I won't be able to attend PRT? Or does that, I mean, I'm trying to understand how that happens, because I'm just curious.
Yeah, I think I'd be stepping out of lane just a little bit if I tried to answer that fully, but I believe that the process would to work to get them clean off of that, and then they'd be admitted. And again, if I can clarify that with the acting director. But currently,
so we're talking about a detox?
Yeah.
Okay. And where is detox? Who handles the detox?
Do you have something to add, Cindy?
I was just going to say, I believe it is detox. Before they can be admitted, they cannot be actively detoxing.
Okay. I need you all to pull your microphones in.
Yeah. They can't be actively detoxing on admission. They have to be cleared before, because they can't properly do their job while they're trying to keep someone alive. So they have to detox before, and either where they go for that, we would have to really find out if they're being detoxed at home, if they're being sent to a hospital to detox, depending on how bad it is, how bad they want. Mm-hmm. But I may be speaking out of turn.
Okay. Councilman Lemon, did you have some more questions?
I did. That's where I was headed. Thank you for that piece of it, because I was curious about, are we closing that gap for detox? Are we sending out referrals to hospitals for detox? Do we have a relationship with any of the hospitals that do detox or any outpatient detoxing? Because sometimes I feel like I don't know enough about what we do exactly as far as that goes on the detox side of it. And so I'm just trying to find out if we have a missing gap there, or we're not connecting and bridging that so those people can get treatment. Because the worst thing to do is be like, I'm ready to go to treatment. And then you come in and be like, well, we can't take you because you have to detox first. And then where does that, do we have resources for those people?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have comments?
Well, yeah, that's when, again, that person who usually takes care of us also who handles our PRC. Those are things that if they live within our service unit, of course, we'll be able to take care of. And I do know in the past that we have done that. We've sent them to outpatient, and then we're able to, complete that detox, and then they're able to be admitted.
Okay. All right. Anyone have any questions?
I do.
Congresswoman.
This is Cecilia. I have a question.
Just a moment. Just a moment, Cecilia. Congresswoman Pratt, Speaker Pratt.
So following up from what Congresswoman Lemon had stated, so I can
if they're name, recognized by the chair.
What? Shanna.
Sorry about that.
Okay. One thing I was gonna say, I'm glad that you brought up the detox aspect of it, but also there was I can think of an example as to where a patient was, so you said like, well, what if I need to go? Well, I think there's situations like somebody's like a heart patient, has had like a heart attack in the past, and I believe they had a previous heart attack and was pregnant and needed into treatment. And so I would say those are situations like that where they have to really look at what our facility is set up for and how they could possibly treat them in the event that something goes wrong like that, and the liability with that, and, you know, not being closer to a heart hospital or something like that. So that's one example I can think of. And beyond that, I just want to say that I appreciate Ms. Shangru and Mr. Shaw being with us and trying to answer the questions to the best of their ability. But I'm disappointed that we don't have the counseling center staff with us today in PRT as we had planned, because this is just really an educational experience. Because we can sit here and say, well, I know of this and I know of that, and I know of a situation where, you know, they did coordinate with someone for detox, but I don't know that there's actually a system set up. Like, okay, you want to go? You know, when someone says, I'd like to go to treatment, I need treatment, I don't know that there's a real streamlined process that they actually take you and say, okay, let's get through this together, whether you need to detox or not. I think it might be a hit and miss, a random situation. And then, of course, the former director no longer with us. So I just really hope that we can do this again and continue to get that information so that we have a good idea. And this is, I contacted Chief earlier and said that this is, to me, in my eyes, merely an educational process right now so we can know how we currently operate, because that's what we really need to know to understand where we're going and what's needed. We just need to know where we're at right now. And they are the folks that have those answers. So, but I appreciate you all being here and giving us the answers to, you know, the best of your knowledge at this time.
Yeah. Thank you. So some of the other questions that I'm very interested in, of course, are the census, especially over the last 2 years, what the census has been like, both for outpatient and inpatient. I'd like to know, I just happen to know for a fact that you all are CARF certified, and in CARF, because I'm not familiar with it, are there different levels of accreditation, and are we limited by our accreditation, or are there levels of accreditation that we haven't attained that might fulfill some of these gaps? I'd also like to know, let's see, I can't think of how to phrase this one. From a financial standpoint, the billing that comes out of the counseling center goes to the counseling center. I'd like to know what, if there's any billing that's coming out of PRT, if there's a possibility for billing to come out of PRT. I'm very interested, and I don't know if you all can give us this, very interested in what the schedule is, the schedule for a patient or a client with PRT. What does their day look like? What does their week look like? I think these are important things that Congress can better understand, because, you know, when you look at most of our federal programs, it's just one-way money in and one-way money out. They're providing a service, so they get a grant for money to provide a certain service. Well, you can kind of look at that at the counseling center, but there's other factors involved. There's a lot of time and treatments and therapies, and there's you know, dollars flowing in one way but not flowing in another and stuff. And we kind of need that bigger picture. I think it would help us, especially when it gets to budgets. That kind of thing really helps us. Congresswoman Goodfox, you had a question.
Yeah, just wanted to comment that I worked for almost a decade as a SAMHSA contractor, and one of the things I did outreach to all across the United States, actually, and mostly with tribal communities. And one of the things that I often heard when they were talking about the grant money that they were using was that, just to kind of piggyback on what Speaker Pratt had to say about the starting process, one of the things that I heard most often was that a lot of processes were, it was hard. And they were dealing with, if it was a parent, they were dealing with kids or grandkids, and they had limited resources of transportation, they had limited resources of internet access, they had limited resources of cell phones. And I don't think that that's changed. I think that there's still a lot of people that have limited resources for transportation and internet access. And then, and not just that, but they felt, even like this has been decades ago, but they felt like it was, they were just knocking on the door. Oh, you need to go here. And then they'd knock on that door. Oh, you need to go there. And they'd knock on the next door. They said to come here, you know, and it was just really frustrating for people. And mm-hmm. it made them feel like, what I always heard was, it just made us feel like it's just too much work. It's too much trouble. It's too much this, it's too much that. Like, and so I would like for our services to not be that way, that they, the first time that they knock, there's some sort of a caseworker, if you will, or intake specialist, if you will, that's gonna be there to walk with them to, through all the processes that they need to, you know, that they need to do. And so, and I've known people that have been that way, where they've tried to get their kid into treatment, and it's taken 3 or 4 family members to all pitch in to get there, and it weeks later, to the point where the mom was afraid that they weren't even, that their kid, who said they were willing to go on a Friday, but they couldn't get him in there for 2 more weeks, and then they were going to lose, then that kid was off, and they were like, now we can't find him, and he's not willing to go. Mm-hmm. And so I really think that our process should not, you know, that we should try to do everything we can to make it a smooth process where it's the least amount of stress for whoever's picking up the phone, whether it's the patient or a family member who is, because sometimes that patient, they don't want to make that call. I mean, they know they need to. And they know at some point they're going to have to be the ones that says, yes, I need to go. But they may not have the ability to sit on the phone with anyone. They have, their attention span just isn't there right at the moment. So just something I was thinking about.
Thank you. And I'm glad you brought that up. I think that that's probably, when we compare notes, that's the biggest complaint that we have, people just getting handed off. So we'd also like to know if the counseling center is handing people off to, maybe we're full and we can't take them. Are they searching out a place for them to go? Are we on a 24-hour phone system so that people can reach out anytime, day or night or weekends? And then also, I'd like to know, just, this is, I'm the one who knows, and that is, why they're not on a paperless system up there. I know that we had them connected at one point, but I understand they're not using their paperless system. I hate to rush this, but I know that they're both taking notes and asking questions, and so we will schedule more time when we can have the staff come in, because I think there's some more in-depth questions. I know one of the things that is that there was a couple of other congresswomen and I, to educate ourselves, because I never worked with PRT. I was indirectly with them, but not ever worked with them, so that we could go see. And when we compared a tribal facility to a private facility, it was really kind of like day and night. And so there are, I think, deeper questions. And especially if we are looking at hopefully developing, like you said, Chairwoman, a better facility, that some of these questions need to be answered before moving forward. So I appreciate all of y'all bringing some questions in, and we'll keep scheduling this until we can get to it.
Chair, yes. I have a question.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
This
Go
is
ahead.
Cecilia. This
okay,
is
sure. Cecilia. Just a second, Cecilia. Yes.
Okay.
Congresswoman Rivard.
Okay, thank you. Again, and thank you guys for being here, Sandra. And Kirk, I appreciate your time, and that tells me that you have a compassion for this, which you're going to find with a lot of your Congress members, that this initiative is very important to us. I wanted to ask a couple of questions, and if you can answer, great, and if not, I understand, because we really, you know, it's really about getting the right people in the room, and today we weren't afforded that, so I'm going to empathize with you if you can't answer. As far as the counseling center goes right now, with the funding, I understand, you know, TASC, the Treatment Against Street Crime, that's a grant. And I understand you have, you know, restricted money or restricted program income. Is the counseling center and the PRT, and I'm going to talk about them separately because it looks like they do two different functions, inpatient and outpatient, are they both funded by that grant alone?
I don't think they are. Go ahead.
Yeah, the counseling center also has the Medicaid-assisted treatment grant.
What's it called, Kirk?
The Medicaid-assisted treatment grant, MAT. They also have the TOR grant, Tribal Opioid Response, I believe is what it stands for. And then I believe last year Jennifer had obtained one more SAMHSA grant, but I'll have to confirm that with her.
Okay, thank you. And then if I could carry on, Chair.
Yes.
So I was wanting to know if maybe the next time we meet that we could get a breakdown of the current funding. And then I noticed the report that was sent to us last by the from the board. There was not any stats regarding our outpatient or inpatient care. So I was wondering if we could get a report as to what that looks like right now, just so that we can see what the stats are, as Congresswoman Stabler had mentioned, and information on how many beds we have available and the men and women, how many are currently filled at that time, and the current waiting lists. And then back to the detox topic, I was curious, I'd like to know what that actual the steps are, because as stated by my colleagues, I feel like if you say you want to go to treatment at that time and it is a Friday and you're told to come back Monday, you've probably lost that client just because of the time span in between. But are we, I understand we have our CHR program now that is under the clinic, which I totally agree with. I think that was a smart move. You know, we did find in visiting other facilities that they actually take the person to the detox and pick them up. And they were offering really hands-on assistance with that client. I know a lot of the, back some time ago when you did an intake, they actually came to your home if you couldn't get to the counseling center. And there was a lot of hands-on, you know, we don't want to let this client go, because once they said, I want to go into treatment, they didn't let go and worked with them and helped them along the way. I know that it would probably, I agree, take a doctor to determine whether a client needs to go into detox or not. And with that, I was wondering, are we a dual dual diagnose at our current facility? Or is it just alcohol, or is it other?
I think it's other. I believe it's dual diagnosis.
Say again?
I believe so. I don't believe it's just alcohol. It would be treatment for whatever
alcohol
substance
and meth
they are dealing with. And you know, we tend to think that it's a lot of opioid abuse, but we know here it's mostly meth and alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because usually, typically, that's the case with most clients. You know, if you're doing one, you're doing something else as well. And then my final, some stats I'd like to get is, you know, on the behavioral health piece, I understand we currently just have one behavioral health person at our clinic. And how are they meeting the needs of our inpatient clients at the PRT, or how are we addressing that? Because I believe that they offer historical trauma counseling and things of that nature. And so I was just kind of would like to know, just give me some more details about it from the beginning to the end, what that looks like and what we're currently doing. And I think that would, if we are not able to get the actual people that operate the programs, I think if we had a really good detailed report, that would help us as well. Okay. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Okay.
This is Cecilia.
Oh, yes, Cecilia, go ahead. You have a question?
Okay. I have a comment for what Councilman Rebard had to say in reference to utilizing the CHRs and utilizing weekend people. I have a personal experience when I worked with CHRs and an alcohol patient, and it happened on the weekend. So we must be very careful about a lot of these things that we do. It all sounds great and wonderful, but I had an experience that a person was released from the hospital to go to detox, to go to counseling. I was to pick him up, and it was on a weekend to take him. And he went in. He had not been completely detoxed because he went into DTs, and I had taken a shortcut from Ponca City. And that was to go to Stillwater. And he went into detox, and I was driving down the road, and he was saying, "Watch out, watch out. Get that snake, get that snake." And it scared me to death. And here I was driving down the road. He picked up a hammer it was in the pickup, and scared me to death. So we must be very careful to make sure that we wouldn't send people out on the weekend. I just happened to have the Pawnee administrative assistant's phone number and called him, and he told me for my safety to get him to his parents' house, his relative's house in Stillwater, and just to let him go because I was not capable of handling that at that situation. So those are things that when we look at weekends and we're sending our people out to take care, we have to make sure that they are safe also, because some of these people have reactions and still have some problems and are not totally detoxed. That's what I wanted to add when we're talking about sending our people out on the weekends.
All right. Thank you. Speaker Pratt, and she'll be the last on this topic. We'll move on. Thank you.
Thank you. So just kind of following up with what everybody's comments, again, I just want to make sure I say it for, I don't know, the record for everybody's, to make sure everybody's on the same page. I see that the clinic director is and the board chair. So again, I'm going to say it again. It's unfortunate that we weren't able to speak to the employees, because I'm looking for somebody in the Osage Nation that can tell me exactly what happens when a client walks. Maybe they see you on the street. I don't know. Mm-hmm. A lot of us hear from a lot of folks suffering in our community. So I'm looking for one person that knows what happens from the moment somebody finds you on the street and says, "I need help."
Yes.
And I don't know who that person is, where they are. I've been up there personally, and I had a hard time getting anyone to say hello. So, and I'm pretty sure they know my name. And so I hate that for anyone, if we don't know their name, that's coming in and needs help. That's sad. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to speak up for those folks, and I've been doing it for years, and I'm going to continue and until we get this right. And so we've heard from this administration that this is a priority. We heard this the last round in the CARES. I had a conversation with Chief this morning and saying, you know, like, here we are and we're, you know, CARES money or not or this or that. I mean, this should have been a priority with their own tribal dollars for years now. and it should have happened before COVID ever happened. That's my personal opinion. I'm going to keep saying it. I'm not supposed to get into the planning. So at the risk of sounding like we're planning right now, I'm planning on getting better. That's what I plan on doing together as a team for the sake of our tribal members and any natives in our community, whether in this country, that can come. And I've said it multiple times before, I'll say it again, I would love to be a destination treatment facility for all of Indian Country. I'm fine with that. I'd be proud to be that, because there's a lot of suffering. And so it's a commitment. It's been said over and over that this is a commitment of this administration. So I plan for us to stay on the same page and plan moving forward. We are offering, we as Congress members offer suggestions. We offer from experience. We offer from education. We are not trying to tell anyone how they have to do it. We are simply offering suggestions. You cannot listen. But I just wish we would sit down and talk about it. And if we're, you know, a lot of times, we're really consultant heavy, thick around here. And so this is definitely, if we don't have the right people with the right answers, I'm definitely on board to find those folks that can jump on board and help us get this right. And all I'm asking is, you know, to hold folks to their commitment, make it a commitment of all of ours, and stay together as a team. We can talk about all the things that why this won't work, but I'd like to follow up with how we're going to make it work for the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Congressman Big Horse.
Yes, I apologize. I know that you want to move on, but I won't say much. But I do have some questions for the next meeting.
Okay.
And I have some advice, and I have a little bit of knowledge working in a counseling center with PRT clients and clients of all kinds. And I've experienced what Speaker Pratt has experienced also. Kirk and Ms. Shangru, I applaud you for being on. This is all new stuff, what you're hearing right now, because I too have walked in that counseling center, and not one of those people turned around and asked me if I needed any help or if I needed something. I mean, my goodness. It's a counseling center. Anytime somebody walks in that door, they are looking for help. They're looking for something. But I have some questions, and I have a lot of comment to make at the next meeting. So that's all I have to say right now.
I appreciate that, Congressman Big Horse. Thank you. So the next item on the agenda is the PRT, the Primary Residential Treatment Center, which of course correlates with the counseling center. But if we can move into that topic, does anybody have any questions regarding it?
Chair, this is Rivard.
Congresswoman Rivard.
Thank you, ma'am. So I want to, this, both of the counseling center and PRT are, as I stated, very important. And so I've thought about this a lot since we've taken our trip and trying to do our due diligence to look at other facilities. And we've talked about pre-treatment and post-treatment and things of that nature and in between. But I'm gonna talk to you guys as a, you know, your congresswoman, but also as a past client at the PRT facility. Because I'm trying to separate that, but I can't. And so I'm going, currently the way the PRT system was a little bit different than when I was a client, which was up on the agency campus in the big homes, I guess you'd say. And at that time they had a men's house and then they had a women's house. And then the counseling center was at another home. And of course, those were torn down when we built our welcome center and the law building, what have you. So as I understand right now, we have a women's facility and a men's facility. And we all know that the men's facility is located in Barnsdall and the women's is here in Pawhuska. One thing that we brought up in the conversation at the counseling center is that we talked about the clients that are ready to go into treatment, which because of myself being in recovery, I talked to a lot of Osages and other natives that are in recovery very frequently, including this morning, yesterday, the day before. It's just who I am and it's my lifestyle. And so I'm very familiar with the client side. And of course, I'm not a counselor by any means, but I am a support system. And that's one of the common threads that I hear in our community is the support system that's alive and well, but really it's not connected to our current counseling center or our PRT the way that it could be. When we went to visit these other facilities like that Congresswoman Stabler mentioned, I think if we weren't so tired, I believe that Congresswoman Pratt and Stabler, we would have kept going and looking at these other facilities and some of the pre-meetings that we've had about the discussion about the location of the facility. I think we all agreed that it shouldn't be located on Main Street. And I just want to say thank you guys for supporting that. And that's coming as a past client as regards to confidentiality and things of that nature. So I feel like one of the main questions, and this could be for you as a board member, Ms. Shangru, is that we need to find a location. When I look at location, just like in purchasing a home, I want different, I'd like to have different examples to look at, different scenarios. What does this look like? Not just one. And I wanted to make you aware that we have a real estate services department. All of our land is currently mapped, whether it be fee simple, restricted, on trust property. I think thus far I've heard the PRT to be located in three different areas. I've heard on the campus, the agency campus. I've heard on Main Street, and I've heard out off of Highway 99. Now I'm hearing further down on Main Street where the old nursing home is located. I do not agree with the nursing home. It's institutionalized. That does not work. And those involved with the planning of this, I would recommend you do your due diligence and find out what is out there and what is working. And I'd also recommend that you talk to the people that are currently operating your facilities, as well as clients that have participated in your program, as to what works. Currently, I don't know the number of beds that we have, if it's based off of the staff that we have or the lack of funding, or what is it that why we aren't having enough beds with regards to the men. With the women, you know, is there a reason that we're not accepting women and their children at the same time? Is that something other entities are doing? Is that successful or not? I know a lot of women will not go to treatment because they cannot bring their children. They're also maybe facing domestic violence issues, so they need to be diagnosed in that area as well. Do we have enough behavioral health on staff to meet the needs of our folks? Because the goal is success, right? And like I said, there's three different areas: before, during, and after. And it's long-term because it's a change in lifestyle. So it doesn't just stop when you leave or graduate the PRT program. It's like, what's next? And a lot of this, I can tell you, is the client has to do, but also the client can only do as much as what resources are out there. And I agree with Congresswoman Pratt 100% that I would love us to be the best in Indian country, and not just in Indian country, but the best in the world as far as rehabilitation goes. And so those are my comments on the PRT. Again, I'm not trying to overstep. I know my role as a congressperson, but I am going to stay focused on this, and I'm not going to give up. This is something, again, that's in our strategic plan. It's been talked about, and I think if you were to reach out to our community members, that you would see that the folks at home are affected by this. They care about it, and I think that that's something that we should be proud to offer to our people, but more so that we celebrate with the folks that are having success and give them every resource needed to be successful. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Ms. Shangrew? Congresswoman Goodfox, didn't you have something?
I don't have a question, but it just a comment again. So the Creek Nation offers what a lot of people consider a premier facility. And I know that when, because like Congresswoman Rivard said, we all have people that come and ask us questions and you know, have you heard of, do you know of any, and I always send them to Creek. That's where I start looking here. Here's the number, call. I don't know, everything changes, but they do have a facility where they allow for women to bring their children. And I know people that have gone there and have been successful 8, 9, 10 years later off of meth. People that were addicted for 15, 20 years, and they take their kid. Those kids need help too. That's the reality. I know some families really struggle with, you know, should we allow her to take the kids? Well, they've experienced this life also. So they need counseling too. They need their own coping skills and need their own resources too. And they put them into the school system down there, and they get them to school and back, and they have their own, you know, kids counseling, and then they have a family counseling with their parent. And so I think that that's something that we should, I don't know that it will happen right off the bat, but I think that it's something we should be striving for. I think that needs to be a goal.
Yeah. Absolutely. I would like to just respond to,
yes, please, go ahead.
Just these questions and these comments, just to let everyone know that we are dedicated now. We're working with the REDW to help us restructure, and included in the restructure is not only of the way the clinic runs, but it will be the way that our whole healthcare system is set up. And we want to look at the NUCA system out of Alaska. Their health clinic, it's South Central Alaska, they serve 65,000 Alaska Natives, not 6,500, 65,000 Alaska Natives in a comprehensive, complex, patient-centered care. And this is what we want, not only on our medical side, but on our PRT side and on our treatment side, aftercare. All of that which you are all speaking about, that we know that we need, and we are planning this in succession and helping us plan. Besides these management people who are going to set up the framework, we're going to have our own specialists, our own leaders having input and helping us build this system that's going to be the right thing for the Osage people and the surrounding nations. We do also want to become the provider of choice, whether it's mental health, whether it's your personal medical health, and we also, in addition to be a provider of choice, we want to strive to be an employer of choice, because so many of our patients are also our employees, they're our tribal members, and we need to take care of everyone. What we're looking at is
right now, a new men's PRT building, about 6,500 square feet, a men's transitional living where after they get out of, after they've detoxed and after they've gone through the 60-day, 90-day treatment, then instead of sending them back home to the same influences before, we can put them in a traditional clean living, transitional living, where they can live, find jobs, and work for up to a year to get themselves back to knowing how to live in the world without substance abuse. In addition to that, we want to build a women's transitional living facility, 5,000 square feet, that includes room for their children, that they can bring their children while they are getting back on the road to recovery. And a 6,500 square feet adolescent PRT with separations for boys and girls and have dining and kitchen in all of these facilities. Now, we do have to find a place to put it. If we are looking at the property on West Main, that old building that is there, I would advocate to be razed and not use that building. I believe there are too many issues with it to try to retrofit that to what we need. It would not look right to have one crummy building and three brand new buildings. It's looking like we're not giving someone the care that they require. So I would advocate, if that property is purchased, that we raise the buildings that are there, that sit there, and build our own. But that's going to require money. And as Erdman has let us know, that it's going to be around, I think, what did I say, $6 million? That's something that we've got to look and think about, where we're going to get that money. Can it all come from the COVID monies, or will we have to actually go to Congress and ask for an appropriation? But this is something, we've heard your questions, and they are all so very valid, and I am sorry that we were not able to bring our people here today, but we will get these answers for you. And either we can present them, Kirk and myself can present them, or we can bring Jennifer McLaughlin in to present them. But please know that these are all issues we are well aware of and that we are striving and working forward. We don't have all the answers. We know that there is a need, that there has been a dysfunction. That's why we are moving forward to transition and to make our health system, including behavioral health, transitional living, PRT, everything, be a treatment place of choice. Thank you.
Thank you. Would you like to go ahead and slide right into a clinic update, since you started with REDW?
We can do a little bit of the clinic update. Right, Brandy. Now, we have asked for
Congresswoman Lemon, I'll get with you in a second here.
Increase, and I have not received that yet from Erdman, but we know as costs have increased a third for everything else, we expect our production costs to go up. What I do know about properties, we have closed on properties, and since we have closed on them as of 3/31, I think it's probably okay to say that we've closed on.
I think those words suffice.
Okay.
That's great to hear.
We've closed on properties. The third property that we are looking at is, the contract is signed. It's with the AG's office as we speak. And per Bill Eagleton, they're gathering documents from the heirs in order to file three ancillary probates in Osage County. But hopefully, I think we hope to be closed on that by September. I believe that was the latest thing. So two of our properties are purchased, and we do have some left and that will be purchased. And now all we have to do is await our findings as far as environmental and historical, and we start our, demolition. We've got monies in the health construction fund to take care of the demolition of the properties for the clinic. So that's where we are right there.
Okay, all right. Congresswoman Lemon, did you have something?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. And it is, I wanted to just thank Ms. Shangru for your comments earlier. It's backtracking a bit. And this won't be the first time that you know, I've mentioned that I've always envisioned, and I know that many people have also, a full circle type of healthcare system that involves everything that has been spoken about concerning behavioral health, because we all know, or most of us do anyways, that what leads to substance abuse or any type of addiction is a behavioral health coping mechanism breakdown, that we either never learn the coping mechanism or we stray from it and pick up other habits. And so I'm very hopeful and excited that we are looking at the full circle of health, the mind, body, and soul, not just, you know, just fixing a problem and moving on or putting a Band-Aid on it. And so I would like to, which I have in the past asked for statistical updates, and I know that Congresswoman Rebar did for the Counseling Center, and if at all possible at our next meeting, if we could have some statistical information concerning our PRT program as it sits now. You know, of course, how many beds, how many on the waiting list, how many have been turned away, things of that nature, how many have been referred to other places, and was there a follow-up by a case manager for that person who might not have been able to come to our facility, how many had to go to detox, things that you would normally report on in a QI program within your PRT program. I'm interested in that, and I'm also interested to find out if we're talking about addiction. And when we talk about addiction, there's more than just substance abuse addiction. We have food addiction, we have gambling addiction, and a lot of times what can happen is most addicts have to find another way to cope without the substance that causes their addiction to manifest. So therefore, I'm just interested because I do know of personal experiences of people, and I'm sure we all have them, that someone who may have become clean from alcohol and meth abuse, but then they got into gambling or another obsession of some type. And so I'm just interested to find out if that is also being considered with our PRT and transitional living type of facilities. If other types of behavioral health, just addiction in general, there's people that are addicted to brushing their teeth 25 times a day, you know, and so obsessive compulsive disorder. I mean, that's just one of those types of things that I'm just interested in that also, to find out where we refer those people to if we're not taking them in ourselves to our PRT. At our next meeting, of course. I thank you for your time, Madam Chair, and everyone else.
Thank you, Congresswoman Levin. I think going along with that, I'd also like to know if the determining of the size of the facilities that you said that you're looking at planning was dictated by a space of land, or was it dictated by some kind of physical analysis on the needs based on client needs?
I think it was based on client needs.
Okay.
I believe because okay. I think at the time that this was done, that the PRT directors were involved in planning okay. how many rooms we need, what size we would like to house, how many beds,
wonderful.
Et cetera.
Wonderful.
I believe that. But
all right.
That is something that will be answered
okay.
for you.
Thank you.
Coming up. Thank you.
Thank you. I know you all can tell I've been really rushing what I was trying to do, and we'll schedule many more hours, however many hours we need to get through all this. But what we have today is we do have a couple of past clients from our PRT and counseling system that would like to come and visit with us and tell us about their experiences. And we're so happy to have people come who are willing to discuss this with us and give us some insight about how our program works, as well as what might make our program work better or what is stellar about our program. So I think right now, that's where Congresswoman Rebard probably went. Unless somebody has a question they'd like Chair Shangru or Mr. Kirk to take note of, I would entertain a recess for us to go into
And then as soon as these clients get here, we can go into executive session to hear their stories. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to have notated for response? Okay, well, I really thank the committee for your patience. I know this has been a rough one as far as getting through the agenda. You know, one of the things that we have coming up is they're going to film in this building sometime in June, and so we're trying to get some meetings started so that we leap over that time span when they tear this building or tear our offices out and bring others in and stuff. And so it may be a while before we can get back in, but we're going to keep trying to keep moving forward because this is important to us. I would entertain a motion for a recess.
So moved.
Okay, for let's say a 5-minute recess. And I need a second.
Second.
Okay, have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. All right, we are in recess for 5 minutes. Thank you.
Calm down, Jordan.
But in here, she's Congresswoman Shaw. She's not.